This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
It's my pleasure to welcome a returning guest back to the show. That is Dr. Jerome Corsi. He's senior staff writer for WorldNet Daily and InfoWars DC Bureau Chief. He's author of several books, including the new book, Killing the Deep State. We're going to talk today about the deep state. We're going to talk about Google and Facebook, what I call two of the scariest companies in the world, and see what Dr. Corsi thinks of that. Jerome, welcome. How are you?
Great to be with you. Thank you.
Yeah, good to have you on. So there have been many thoughts, discussions, and dare I say conspiracy theories about who really runs the United States of America. Is that Congress and the President, the Supreme Court, or is it a completely different set of characters?
In doing the Killing of the Deep State, I mean, I'm really looking at the shadow government, the holdover from the Obama administration, the bureaucrats who have been there. And really, we have a group of bureaucrats since really George H.W. Bush who are increasingly leftist. They're increasingly wanting a new world order, a borderless society. And of course, the presidency of, or the candidacy of Donald Trump really set this group of entrenched deep state bureaucrats into panic. So one of the reasons I wrote Killing the Deep State is I really wanted to show this smoking gun evidence against the FBI. When you read the book, you're going to be stunned. It's clear there was an actual coup d'etat effort among the FBI to make sure that Donald Trump never was president, or if he did get elected, never served a full term. And I believe that to a large extent, this coup d'etat is still going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. So who's behind the coup d'etat? Just the old guard that it hasn't been replaced yet with the new administration, or what?
To a large extent, the holdovers who have been this new world order, entrenched bureaucracy. I mean, we've seen now in the releases that have been made from the Inspector General and the Department of Justice that, for instance, these two who were lovers, Peter Strozek, who was head of the Counterintelligence Division in the FBI, and the attorney Lisa Page, and they were exchanging emails saying how they were desperate that Donald Trump not get elected president, that Hillary Clinton be president, and that they needed an insurance policy to make sure that if by some catastrophe Donald Trump won the election, he would never serve his full term. And that turned out, I believe, to be this Fusion GPS dossier, which was in part paid for by Hillary Clinton's campaign, opposition research, and James Comey, the head of the FBI, advanced it, this Fusion GPS dossier, to the FISA court three times to get permission to do electronic surveillance of Donald Trump's campaign, and never really fully told the court that it was opposition research, or what Comey had to tell Congress under oath was that the FBI could not authenticate the document, didn't know if it was true. And yet, you know, Comey was lying one time or the other, either under oath to Congress or misrepresenting the document to the FISA court. And these kinds of potentially criminal misconduct indicates to me coup d'etat intent way beyond what the purpose of the Justice Department of the FBI is supposed to be.
Mm, yeah, it's pretty interesting. So can the Trump administration, you know, what can they do? What power do they have here to defend themselves against this? And by the way, folks, you know, if you're listening thinking, well, I hate Donald Trump, I'd love to see him gone. Listen, I don't love the guy either. But I'll tell you something, this matters, because regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, you want the country being run and managed in the form in which our founders intended it, you know, checks and balances, three branches of government, not some fourth branch hiding in the shadows here. This is no good.
Well, you also can't have a group who go rogue within the bureaucracy and decide that they're going to exert their own political will and make sure that even if a candidate wins the election in terms of the Electoral College vote, which is the key element, that person should not be allowed to be serving president because you don't like them or you're politically opposed to them. The Constitution does not give that authority to bureaucrats. The Constitution doesn't even specify bureaucrats. The point I'm making is that Donald Trump has recourse. We have now an inspector general who has made it clear that so far it looks like serious improprieties were committed in the Department of Justice and the FBI. Secondly, it looks like these could be criminal because we also have the appointment of a new outside prosecutor under the name of this guy Huber in Utah, who is working with the Inspector General Horowitz, and they, I expect, are going to produce indictments against these deep state actors within the Department of Justice and the FBI that will be on point, very different than the Mueller investigation, which I think has totally run out of gas by now.
Yeah. It's really quite interesting. Where do we go from here? You know, the thing that really, really, I think should be of great concern to people, and I mentioned it when I was introducing you, is these tech giants and the world of big data and the massive, scary, although it doesn't technically violate antitrust, you know, maybe the laws need to be updated because they're really old. You know, they were from the times of Rockefellers and Carnegies, right? And Mellons. These companies know everything about us. It is unbelievable the power they wield. They can control the news we see. They can sway elections all over the planet. This is crazy. And you don't have any constitutional protection against them because they're not the government, yet the government is using them as a proxy. You know, they spend many, many millions of dollars lobbying every year. They all tend to skew left-wing. You know, certainly that's quite apparent when you look at Google, Facebook, and Amazon. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, many of these companies were created by the CIA. Google received an enormous amount of funding from the CIA and still does. And people are now beginning to realize, especially with the controversy over Facebook, that what you're doing when you enter social media data is you're self-volunteering into what's a dashboard for the intelligence organizations, the NSA, the CIA. You're self-reporting all your data, every intimate detail about your life, including what you like and don't like, what you watch and don't watch, what you think and don't think. And that data is available to be sold to the political party or political candidate, typically on the left, that you may or may not like. And by the way, if you're on the left and think this is just fine because we'll, you know, extinguish conservatives, they don't have a right to speak, well, that's not what the First Amendment says. And tables could turn when it's these same giants bought by conservatives and stamping out liberal speech or progressives, the tune will change. And I think what would be prudent for all is to realize that an Internet Bill of Rights is going to have to come about, and these giants in their domination of the industry, as President Trump has indicated, are going to face FTC supervision both on privacy issues and on antitrust. And you can see in terms of the market damage that's going to do to the tech stocks, these overvalued companies.
Oh, they're massively overvalued. These companies are disgustingly overvalued. They have money thrown at them. I mean, it's absurd. You know, you can't have regular industry and regular businesses beside these things because these behemoths, they're just running on this completely illogical business model. It's beyond absurd, you know. Yeah. I mean, you know, the CIA was one of the original investors in Facebook. Zuckerberg is probably going to run for president in the fairly near future.
I wouldn't count on it.
Oh, you wouldn't?
Count
okay,
on
all right,
that.
Okay.
Good. I don't think Zuckerberg has a chance.
Yeah, okay, well, good. I'm glad to hear it. But
after this, see, what's happened is it's very much like the original dot-com bubble bursting,
mm-hmm.
is that now the public is aware that their data is being manipulated and sold,
mm-hmm.
yet the privacy is not being protected. And that bubble, you know, you're not going to put the genie back in the bottle.
Well, I hope so. I hope so.
And these giants who, you know, if Hillary Clinton won, they were within one inch, they thought, of stamping out conservatives, blocking them from Google, canceling their accounts with no recourse.
Well, they're doing that already. I
companies.
Mean, YouTube does that right. every day. They censor conservatives, you know. Yeah.
And it's gotten to the point where it won't be tolerated anymore. There's a major pushback. And first, it's going to be, you're going to see it in billions of dollars being lost in market capital, billions. This is just starting. Then you're going to see these companies under First Amendment and other restrictions. They're going to have to respect privacy, and they're going to be broken up under antitrust. You know, moguls like Eric Schmidt and Zuckerberg, who think they were gods and could control what's fake news and what isn't fake news and what's right to print and what isn't right to print, are about to be brought down to size. Now, in killing the deep state, I make the point that this, you know, is part of what unfortunately has become an increasingly intolerant left, where you used to want to be able to have free speech and you want to be able to have debate. Now, even in college campuses, the intolerance level and the hatred level.
Oh, it's beyond the beyond, yeah.
And this is, you know, the Democratic Party, I read a whole chapter in Killing the Deep State where the Democratic Party has moved so hard left. You know, we find out now that Keith Ellison, the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee, was not only a black Muslim, but also a Black Panther. We find out that Tom Perez, the head of the DNC, is a La Raza lawyer. Democratic Party, from the days of John Kennedy and Hubert Humphrey, have gone so over the leftist cliff that, you know, they're out there in the territory that in Europe would be reserved for socialist or communist parties. And the average American is not there. So, you know, these intolerant attitudes, these hatred attitudes expressed towards Donald Trump are not being shared by the average person. So when I'm writing Killing the Deep State, yes, the New York Times bans it from its New York Times list, bestseller list, even though it outsold half the other books on the list. But the point is that the book is becoming a bestseller. Because out there in middle America, they don't care about the New York Times bestseller. In fact, the New York Times bestseller list rejected the book, recommends it to millions of other readers. The left doesn't understand that by taking this intolerant attitude, by going so far off the cliff, by having Hillary Clinton be the candidate and calling everybody who didn't vote for her deplorable, they've cut their own throat.
You know, it's amazing how short people's memories are. You know, the fact that Hillary Clinton could be a viable candidate regardless of your political beliefs is amazing to me because she's a criminal. I mean, there's just no doubt. Nobody can disagree with that. She is a criminal. Yet, she was a very viable candidate that pretty much everybody thought would win, and she did win the popular vote.
Well, that's yet to be determined. There's
the okay.
Department
right.
of Homeland Security report in the works, which is going to show there were millions of illegals who were allowed to vote.
Oh, I'm sure there were. They always bus them in. They get homeless people to vote that wouldn't vote.
They were legitimate votes that were thrown away, and there may have been enough where Hillary's popular majority may be called into question.
Right, right.
This report should be released imminently. It was a voluntary report that President Trump called on voter studies that the Democrats refused to participate in, and it was assigned to the Department of Homeland Security. The initial reports are that the Department of Homeland Security conclusions are going to be massive Democratic voter fraud, which occurred not only in 2016, but has become pervasive to the Democratic Party. Now, these are going to be massive impacts. As I point out in Killing the Deep State, they've occurred only because you've had an increasingly entrenched, weaponized, and politicized bureaucracy in the CIA, Department of Justice, FBI, IRS, that have increasingly moved against conservatives. And that pendulum is swinging back, which I don't think that most of these, you know, off-the-ledge progressives have come to understand yet. But it's in the process.
It's pretty interesting. So talk, if you would, for a moment, because it's very topical right now, about Amazon. You know, Amazon isn't as viewed in the same way that Google and Facebook are in terms of their scariness in the big data world, obviously. But, you know, Amazon, I think, is pretty scary, too. You know, they have a microphone, a live mic in everybody's house now with their Alexa devices. They've got, they're just destroying. And you could say it's, hey, it's creative destruction, it's capitalism, it's Joseph Schumpeter, all the rest. But is it fair the way they are just destroying small businesses all across the country and to some extent around the world? Is this healthy? Because you know the old trick. I mean, it's going to happen. Better get ready, folks. You know, that you buy the market with artificially low prices, and then you raise the prices and stick it to everybody when you own the market. And, you know, that's what Uber and Lyft are probably going to do, too. Just wait, let's let them put the taxis out of business first, and then they stick it to the consumer. That's coming with Amazon. We all got to know that's coming. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I point out in Killing the Deep State what you now see apparent, and that is Jeff Bezos also owns Washington Post.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And
yeah.
President Trump has just said they better sign up as a lobbyist.
Yeah, right. And you know what? He's not wrong. They're so biased.
It's not wrong. It's the same with Carlos Slim in Mexico and the New York Times. Yeah. These are lobbyists.
Yeah,
These
right.
are no longer news outlets.
Yeah.
And secondly, Bezos is suffering the same problem. Again, he's going to have a very rough awakening when three initials, FTC, Federal Trade Commission, when both privacy and market competitiveness issues become addressed under antitrust laws. And you're going to see Bezos, who has begun to suffer, lost billions. And I'm talking about the losses in these companies are going to be billions. What they are going to look like at the end of a year or so, if you go back and look at the dot-com companies, where their valuations were, and where many of them ended up after that bubble burst, those who get out first right now, holding the stock of these social media giants and Amazon, may get out with most of their value. Wait too long. My prediction is what's happening is that the genie will not go back in the bottle. They're going to be perceived increasingly as CIA operations where your personal data, that's going to become only more apparent as what I'm predicting is the Trump counterattack starts, and we're going to begin to see many of these deep state criminals brought to trial, including indictment. The investigations are going on right now. The grand jury is in process with this new prosecutor, Huber, working with the inspector general within the Department of Justice, with Michael Horowitz. It's not yet apparent, except to those of us who are specialists and study it, but you're going to see massive indictments, I believe, of the deep state partisans for Hillary, and the social media, which pulled it all out for Hillary, is about to get it pulled all in terms of their market capitalization value.
Mm-hmm. Well, we shall see. You know, some on the left would argue, what is this guy talking about? He wants to regulate? I mean, I thought you were going to be into less regulation, but this isn't the same, is it? It's just a different world with these companies, or is it?
I'm in for what I've always been in for, and that is applying a Internet Bill of Rights, same as we have in supposedly in the rest of the spheres of operation, of our lives, and Internet's going to have to come into that same First Amendment recognition of basic free speech rights.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, we've always had basic understanding since the Sherman antitrust laws in the 1880s of the problem of anti-competitive monopolies, and certainly these companies have abused the market powers they have. The censorship, I think, is the issue on which that and the exploitation of people's data, the fact that they told people their data on Facebook would be private, and then they sold it,
yep.
or they allowed others to access it for political campaigns or marketing. They sold it.
Right.
That breach of trust will not easily be forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I hope you're right. I certainly hope you're right. Jerome, give out your website. Tell people where they can find you.
Killing the Deep State is available. It has become a bestseller on Barnes & Noble's list and BookScan, Publishers Weekly. It's available in bookstores all over the country. It's available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, BooksAMillion.com. Just search for my name, Jerome Corsi, C-O-R-S-I.
Good stuff. Jerome Corsi, thanks for joining us again.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guest opinions are their own, and if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.